We're going to stay and talk about money as well. So, exactly. So we're going to have a presentation from Kurt, and then we'll have a discussion about it.
Good morning, everybody. Just give me 1 second to load the presentation.
Okay, wait. I'm not going anywhere until you tell me to. That's a little... It's on both.
Oh, it's on both.
You okay with this?
Oh, yeah, I just need to get my briefcase.
If you need me, I'm standing right over there. Is this yours or is this
yours? Yes, mine.
I'll get some more water later.
Thanks. Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for indulging the time it's taken to do this. I'm going to report on the treatment of geographical names in the new GTLD guidebook. There's been substantial changes to that treatment in the past few months, given input we've received from the CCNSO, from the GAC, and what we heard at Mexico City. We took all that back, ICANN did, and amended the applicant guidebook to reflect many of the comments of the community. Okay, I'm ready now. So the guidebook is really a proposal up until the time it's made final by the board, where it's approved by the board and the process is launched. And so as we receive community feedback, we'll make amendments to the guidebook, not necessarily that it is thought to be a final solution or the end, but rather to really point up the public discussion. So we can write memoranda about handling of geographic names or other issues and have a good, rich discussion of the issues. But I think that, you know, putting it in the stark black and white of the applicant guidebook showing how the thing would really be implemented, whatever the thing is, gives a clear indication of what the issues are, and then we can talk about, you know, changing ors to ands or taking out paragraphs with great clarity. So the reason why you see the applicant guidebook changing is really to point up that public discussion. It's not intended to be an indication that that's the end game. So you might remember in the last ICANN meeting in Mexico City, the board made a resolution that, and that resolution was made taking into account everything it heard. I'm sorry, I'm coughing. You know, I can't clear my throat this morning. What is it? Taking into account the input of the. I know you're sitting next to me. The CCNSO and the GAC and, of course, the GNSO and what we heard in the public sessions. And so what that board resolution said after a significant amount of discussion was that the board was generally in agreement with the way the treatment of geographic names at the top level. And we're going to talk with specificity what that was in Mexico City and what it is now, but gave gave three directions. One was to sharpen up the definition of what a country or territory name was for purposes of providing protections at the top level. The second was to provide greater specificity as to what was required in order to get a top-level domain for a region. So regions are continents or subcontinents. The UN has a list of 49, I think, regions, and there are so many countries or territories in each region. And then, so they wanted to sharpen up that definition. And then wanted to identify implementation issues with associated with the GACS advice. Starting again with the understanding that we were, you know, had found a compromise at the top level, but not at the second level. So the focus there was on protection of geographic names at the second level. So what was in the guidebook at the top level? Well, in Mexico City, the guidebook said that if you apply for a country or territory name, you required the approval of the or non-objection of the relevant government. So what is a country or territory name was this list of four bullets. And the first bullet, meaningful representation of a country or territory name, that sort of appropriated the definition that was developed by the IDNC. And then protections were also provided for these other other sorts of names, the subregion in the ISO 3166-2 list, capital cities of countries or territories on the ISO list, or city names in the case where recognizing that city names are all often generic terms or city names are shared by many jurisdictions, that city names that identify with a particular city or jurisdiction will require the approval of that government. And then as far as continent names or regional names, the guidebook said approval of a substantial number of relevant governments. So what did the board not really like? They didn't like meaningful representation, even as extrapolated to the IDNC definition, or substantial number. They thought both those were a little vague and asked staff to investigate the meaning behind those terms and come up with a more objective standard for this version of the guidebook. So as a proposal in the guidebook, a more objective list for country or territory names was developed. So what is that list? Well, if you get the if you go and buy, and I don't have it with me, the ISO 3166-1 Part 1 list, it's the one you have to pay for. It would be the long form or short form list of country or territory names in that list and translations of those in all languages. So one area where the guidebook was changed was that that was formerly the UN languages only, the official languages of that country or territory in the UN languages. So that's been broadened into translations into all languages. And also there's the Alpha 3 code associated with those countries is in that list. There's also a list of, I'm looking at Kim Davies because he's the expert in this area. Here is the ISO 31. Thank you. So if we have questions later, we can look up the answer. There's another list, a 543 list of exceptionally reserved names of about 18 territory names. And then if you look at this list, there's a remarks column, and the remarks column says things as also known as or the principal islands of, and then has a number of other territory names or island names. And so those names are all included. So there's those, and then there's a separate list, if you look in the applicant guidebook, of 26 what we call separable names. So one form of separable name is Bosnia and Herzegovina. So each one of those names is reserved separately. St. Kitts and Nevis, each one of those is reserved separately. And then there's names such as Russian Federation, where we would cleave the name into the popularly known name and create Russia for that. So there are several of those. But that's a very distinct list of 26 names. And then permutations of the above, so not to let people take advantage of, where to put the word the or of, or switching the two words around and avoiding that. So it's a fairly broad list that includes all the translations, but is intended to satisfy the board's desire for more specificity in the definition. As far as region names or continent names, there's a list, and I don't have the link here, but it's in the guidebook of the 49 UN regions with that definition. And so the guidebook for discussion is the approval of 60% of the countries or territories in that region, and no more than one objection. So that's just intended to avoid the situation where one territory or country can have veto power over a application. So you would need at least two objections in order to defeat that. Is that clear?
Do you want to take questions on stuff now?
Yeah, and certainly if anybody has questions along the way, I am. Okay.
I suspect he'll have to.
Okay, I have a question. I just want to be so that we the context of this is completely clear. What we're talking about is definitions for the new GTLDs. Yeah? So no one is suggesting, I hope, that the use of the term meaningful representation in the IDN's CCTLD implementation plan is a problem.
That's exactly right. Okay. And this is for the definition of country and territory names at the top level.
Okay. Anyone else
want to?
Sorry.
So hang on. You, Roloff, Stephen, Hilda, you're just saying yes because you think you should, right? Oh, no. Okay. Well, do you want to? How much more have you got to go?
Well, this is the last slide on top level.
On top level.
And so if we want to focus on top level for a while, we can, and then go to second level, where I think there's only one or two slides there.
So are we okay to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So can we start with Gabby? Oh, we're just getting it turned on. So I'm going to go, Stephen was first, Roloff, and then Hilda. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, Gabby. Roloff, and then Hilda.
My question is this cast in stone, and are they English-only names?
That's two questions.
Or can we, Well, three, can we add more?
Yes, so it's not cast in stone. Like I said, we put these things, so ICANN puts these things into the guidebook in order to really sharpen the discussion. So we can debate exactly what should be in the guidebook, but the whole guidebook is really a proposal, and certainly this is. I already forgot this. Oh, it's not English only. It's so if you look at the long form and short form list of the country names, it's those names and their translation into all languages.
Can you explain? No, I'll get Roloff go first. Roloff.
Well, maybe you want to make your original point, but you hit on my point exactly. If a meaningful representation is acceptable in the IDNCC-TLD project, so to speak, why is it suddenly a difficulty in the new GTLD project?
It's not a difficulty, and I'm going to challenge the reasoning of others here. The definition of meaningful representation in the IDN CCTLD process is for inclusion. In other words, if you want a IDN CCTLD, you say this is a meaningful representation of my country or territory. It's a broad definition meant to allow a large number of applications in that process. In the GTLD process, it's more of an exclusionary process. So if you want a country or territory name in the GTLD process, these additional protections click into place if it's a country or territory name as defined here. Because one is inclusionary, one is exclusionary, it's thought that it's logically okay to have different definitions for that. And that was discussed in the board for quite some time. Not that the board has approved or not approved yet, but in asking ICANN to develop a more objective list, they you know, the sense was that it would be okay if the definitions diverged some.
I'm just trying to grasp the reasoning, because
it's a common thing.
In both cases, I think somebody has to judge, probably the board, if this is a meaningful representation, if it's either for inclusion or for exclusion.
No,
so it surprises me that it's easier to know what meaningful representation if it's for inclusion than if it's for exclusion. Or am I missing something?
It's not reserved. It requires approval of the relevant government, so the application has to accompany.
Yeah.
It has to be read to go in, or it has to be read not to go in. I would still have to judge if it was read.
So, in my understanding is, and Chris can improve on this answer, I'm sure, is that in the IDN CCTLD process, it's more of a self-certification process that the government the requester of the IDN CCTLD. Certifies that this is a meaningful representation of the country name, because it complies with the definition of meaningful representation. And so it's, you know, at the end of the day, the board will approve the delegation of the name into the root zone, but is not necessarily involved in the process for, you know, in the operational process of proving up that the meaningful representation exists. In fact, the process relies on the country to do that. In the GTLD process, there'll be a panel. It's quite a complex task, adding, you know, the names of countries and territories in all languages. And so it's quite a complex task to take an application that doesn't have the approval of, that is not accompanied by the approval, and having the right sort of expertise on hand to say, wait a second, this is a translation of this name on the ISO list, and so the approval is required. So in each case, operationally, the board's not really involved. The board's, you know, always involved at the end in the delegation process.
But there's no, in the case of the IDN CCTLD, there's no judgment of the term meaningful. Okay, I get that one. I'll be quick, because
that's
the other people.
You take as long as you need.
I'm not a list type of guy, or bloke, maybe I should say. So maybe you can help me out with the text next to you. The criteria that you had on the screen just now, would that cover USA?
If that's the Alpha 3 code.
Not to start with the obvious Dutch example.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
I'm avoiding starting with the obvious Dutch example.
Dutch, yeah.
So let's take USA and US of A.
Right. So if USA is the three-letter code, and I think it is, then it's protected. United States of America is protected. I think United States is protected. And then
US of A?
US of A is not protected. Is it? No.
And Holland?
Holland, I don't think is protected. I don't think it's, unless it's under the also known as.
We'll,
but I'm not so sure.
We'll what? Protect you. Don't worry. It's okay. You'll be fine.
Thank you. Why don't we have scribes when you say things like this?
If we had scribes, I wouldn't say things like that.
You're on my record now.
So, but that doesn't mean, just so that I'm clear, Kurt, and just to take Roland's point, you can still, the objection can still be made to Holland.
Yes, on a community basis.
Right.
And so this is born out of our examination. So we're trying to create more objective tests. And this was born out of our examination of available lists. So if there's a way to way to help or do additional examination as to what other lists might be included, I think that would be good.
Yeah, because I understand your attempt to make it more objective, because it would make the judging easier. But the problem with lists is that they're never complete. Well, you've heard that discussion in the GAC yesterday, I think, as well.
Yeah.
And that's the risk. And I'm sure that afterwards it will be very difficult to get something on the list if it's not already there.
Yes. Well, you're exactly right. I mean, the beauty of relying on a list is as the ISO authority changes the list, we can change with it and can do that with authority. But things change slowly that way.
Hilde.
I'm Hilde Thunen from the Norwegian Registry. Okay. I'd start with a disclaimer. I'm really actually a nice person, and I'll happily buy you a drink later on. But when I was looking at the changes that has been made in the new version of the guidebook, and looking at the input made by the CCNSO and the CCNSO Council, not a single thing of what was requested after Mexico has been taken into account. So that's kind of sobering. If we start at the principal top level of it, we have explicitly requested repeatedly since Los Angeles, I think, that while we are in the process of running a CCPDP for IDNs, that the gTLDs should not grab all the country names, while we haven't still decided on whether these are IDNs, CCTLD IDNs, or gTLD IDNs. And we also have said that we think that the country name or territory name should have the protection that the CC have of being a CCTLD, so that for a user in Norway, there shouldn't be a difference whether they register under .no or under .no in Chinese if we ever get to the point where we would register that on behalf of the Chinese community in Norway. It should be a CCTLD, and the subsidiarity principle should apply. The GAC has also, in its letter from Janice Karkling, said that geographic names are special cases and should have special rules applying to them. The CCNSO has proposed that country or territory names on the ISO list are treated as CCTLDs. This seems to be a sensible approach to ensure that geographic names are afforded sufficient protection. And so I do not really think that that has been taken properly into account in the process that has been. I see that the reasoning in the summary, and the summaries are good, that we get some of the reasoning behind why things are done the way they are, is that, well, some governments might need a country name right now, and currently gTLDs are the only way to do it, so that's why we're including it. I will not say, neither in English nor Norwegian, what I think about that reasoning, because it wouldn't be polite in public, but I think that if you're at least going with that reasoning, the consistent way would then be to say that any country name that is already covered by the CCTLD IDN fast track should have been removed as a CCTLD because it's obviously already available as a CCTLD. But my preference would still be to stick with what the council said and what the CCNSO has said for the last, well, three or four meetings. Onto the list, and just a small comment on that as well. Like Roloff, I'm very skeptical to lists. I realize why this is done. It will make it much easier for the ICANN board and for the ones running the process. But I think that this is a... Well, first of all, there will be things slipping through that is not slipping through according to the original definition of a meaningful representation. I do have worries that the gTLD and the CCTLDs are using different definition of country names, and that if this goes through in the gTLD process, then the board will turn around and say, well, we need specific things in the IDN CCTLD process as well. That's what I would have done. So I would like to turn around and say, well, you know, you've already, so far, we've been discussing the fast track, and we would like to keep that definition for the gTLDs as well. If there should be a difference, if one definition should be narrower than the other, then I actually think that it's the fast track of the IDN CCTLDs that should be narrow, and the protection afforded to country names in gTLDs that should be broad. We don't have the ISO list available. We haven't bought it yet, at least. So I have no idea whether some of the names like Svalbard, which is part of Svalbard and Jan Mayen, two separate islands, is still protected or not with a new definition. And I can, of course, check by buying the list and then making a specific check, but I'm very much concerned about how this has turned from a general principle of protection of meaningful names and abbreviation of names into a specific formula that is very, very hard for the people it's meant to cover to actually check. And no, I'll shut up and actually let you tell me something back about why this is good and why I shouldn't worry.
Thank you. So first, I think there was an accommodation in that was made in the number of languages. So I'm sure you'll regard it as small.
No, it was actually very good, but it was made before the AMEXIVO meeting. Okay. And we said in our input that we really loved it, but it didn't address the basic problem. So this was the basic problem. And after that, nothing happened.
What order do I want to take this in? Quite a bit happened. And there's a few paragraphs written about it in the comment analysis. There was a lot of discussion. There was the discussion among the board. Certainly the board resolution in Mexico City was borne out a lot of that discussion. And then following that again at the most recent board workshop a month ago or so, there was again considerable discussion about it. So I think one of the problems as we put proposals forward, a lot of discussions and decisions are made that are, 60-40 decisions or 51-49 decisions, where there's, I have a lot to say.
Standing so more polite.
Oh, okay. You don't have to be. So the comments of the CCNSO and all the policymaking bodies of ICANN was taken very seriously by those that write this stuff, and including me, and also the board that spent a lot of time discussing these issues. With the nuance I would put on your interpretation of what's in the common analysis was that ICANN didn't feel that it could deny if a government wanted to make an application for a GTLD, ICANN didn't think it could create a space where ICANN could say, we're sorry, you can't have that name, even though you're willing to become a GTLD and do that. We didn't, given the idea of sovereignty, we didn't think that was ICANN's place to deny that. So not so much, the GTLD is the only place you can get one for now, but that if a government requested one, we didn't feel we thought it would be difficult for ICANN to say no. And I know I'm not going to say don't worry, but I will say that the approval of the government does provide some safeguards in that, in the case of Norway, where the TLD is very much a community-based, for local use, the government could take steps to ensure whatever GTLD is given with whatever geographical place name there is associated with Norway and all the names associated with that, the government can take steps to ensure that TLD has restrictions in place to comply with whatever the community restrictions are required. Sure.
Just one question. But if they approve it as a GTLD, it will be a GTLD with ICANN rules and ICANN accredited registrars and ICANN WHOIS policy, which breaches Norwegian law.
I'm not the company attorney.
But I don't. Basically, WHOIS policy is in breach of European law. So
right, and I don't think that ICANN can ever ask anybody to breach local law. The Telnet GTLD, for example, got an accommodation in their WHOIS requirements because of local law.
But in competition, things we would still or. Whomever run the GTLD in Norway or Sweden or anywhere else in that doing these things would still be required to use ICANN accredited registrars instead of the locally accredited registrars according to local process. And it would be UDRP instead of dispute resolution made by the local community. And I'm not really worried about the Norwegian government because I think they are here and they understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I am a bit worried about ICANN creating a process where the countries that are not here or that might not have this information end up in a situation that they wouldn't like. And I think especially when we're doing IDNs, we should be more conscious of the less developed world as well, so that there's something left for them, and that there's something left for them that is truly for their community and their government.
Yeah, I agree with that, and not to just gainsay what you're saying, but that's been given some thought, at least in that the requirement for government approval has changed, where the government approval has to acknowledge that it understands what it means to be a GTLD. I think, you know, you have to use an ICANN accredited registrar, which means that, you know, that's an additional expense. It's a limited expense, and but you know, there's expense associated with becoming a GTLD registrar, a GTLD registry. I mean, so I understand your comments, and as long as the country that wants one is cognizant of that, you know, ICANN is saying it's the government's or country's election. It's not really ICANN's. I think is the point.
So would that mean that if the government decided that it would want to make the CCTLD into a GTLD, it could, because it's the government's selection?
Except it couldn't have that two-letter code.
And the difference is?
Excuse me?
Why? I mean, if it's a principal thing that the government can pick, why couldn't it take the two-letter code and make it into a GTLD if it decided that that was what it wanted?
Why would I want that?
That's my interpretation. Yeah. That I can't really see why a government would want to have a GTLD, but I can see that.
Neither can I.
In the new process, if there is that very few governments will want to make their country name into a GTLD, I would prefer instead a process that said that these are CCTLDs, and the government would then go and make a specific case for something, instead of saying that these are generally available as a GTLD as long as the government has said so, especially considering that in the letter where sovereignty is mentioned, Karklins also fairly expressively says that he thinks that making the country names CCTLD seems to be a sensible approach to protecting these geographic names. But I'll let somebody else say something as well. So,
do we have any other questions before we move on to the much easier subject of the second level? Okay, so.
Okay. I got one more comment. So isn't that sort of a policy decision? So what we think, where we're constrained in the applicant guidebook for GTLDs and for the treatment of CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs, we think we're constrained in two ways. One, by existing policy, where it exists, and two is in respecting the sovereign rights of governments. So, but that what's in the guidebook now is meant to be out of respect and in deference to both those things. So the idea of expanding the definition of a CCTLD, or you know, or saying a two-letter code could be a GTLD, or saying, you know, country names that aren't two-letter codes are really CCTLDs, that seems to be creating policy to us. So what we're saying is, given what the existing policy is, and respecting the rights or desires of governments, this seems to be the path that's available to ICANN, given its, you know, limited scope. That, you know, ICANN staff can't write into the guidebook a change in policy and what's the definite, you know, the expansion of the two-letter code.
Obviously, I disagree. But
yeah, okay.
I mean, obviously, I disagree that this is the expressed will of the government, since they have pretty clearly, to my mind, said that they actually want protection and think the way we have suggested is a sensible approach. I think that at least more effort should be made to talk to both them and us before setting aside something that we have been saying from the very beginning of the process.
Okay, and the last thing I'll say about this is I readily understand all your arguments, and I'm not. This is what makes ICANN so interesting. It's a very close discussion, I think.
You're in trouble when you start saying, I acknowledge that we don't agree with each other, and that is why I'm so fascinated by this project.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Where it goes wrong is so much in our face. A country name, any representation of a country, is the opposite of a generic name. It can't be further apart. So I really don't understand why I can, or the board, or part of the community, still thinks that a TLD that has a name of a country, or a meaningful representation thereof, or a brand for that matter, but let's stick to the countries, can qualify as a generic top-level domain.
Yeah, I think generic is such a misnomer. That's what the word generic means. But when I came to ICANN, I said, so what's a STLD? And I was a sponsored top-level domain, which is a kind of community-based TLD. And I was told, well, that's a subset of the GTLDs. And what's a restricted top-level domain? Well, restricted is really a subset of the generic top-level domains, which I'm still confused by it. But so our lexicon says there's two kinds of domains, CCTLDs and GTLDs. But GTLDs are really comprised of community-based TLDs, sponsored TLDs, restricted TLDs. And so given the scope of the IDN CCTLD process and the GTLD process, we just find it hard to picture ICANN saying, sorry, you can't have a TLD till now.
Okay, Kurt, let's be a little bit more specific about it. I understand exactly what you're saying. You can have subsets of GTLDs, no problem. It still means generic top-level domain, whether you've got subsets or not. That's the first thing. Second thing is that if you ignore just for the moment the possibility of brand GTLDs, so .eBay or .IBM, right, which are clearly have to satisfy the rules of being owned as a brand, you can create whatever subsets of generic top-level domains you like. So could you give me there's not a single GTLD, not one single GTLD right now, that in whatever subset it is, that is a name. They're all words that are generic. Co-op, cooperative, info, post, well, okay, perhaps not post yet, but they're all generic. So by definition, the current GTLDs are generic, because they all are. And what we're saying is, that's fine. And if you want to have a fight about, Roloff and I talked about this yesterday, if there's a product called, if there's a manufacturer of earth-moving equipment called Holland, right, and they want to put in an application for, of course they're entitled to put in an application for a GTLD. And it's their, it's their name. But there should be some protection built in for them. For Holland, rather. Or the Netherlands. So it doesn't make sense to... I don't think you can argue that just because there are subsets of GTLDs that that's okay now to start moving into specific words, specific owned words. The public policy issues alone... I actually do think that this is... it will be a nightmare for ICANN. If dot, I'm just trying to think of an example. If dot Australia were to be registered as a GTLD, now I accept completely, by the way, that the only way this could happen is if the government said that they wanted it, right, as a GTLD. The problems that would arise with content, or could arise with content, are huge. Just because the government says yes, and we all let me again be blunt. If the government of Australia says they want .dot Australia, then that's probably okay. But there are places around the world where the government might say they want whatever it is, and then in 2 years' time, it's a new government, and it's not okay anymore. It's a very, very dangerous game to be playing with the names of countries. It just doesn't make sense to me. Either ban them completely, which is fine. I mean, perhaps not fine for governments, but fine for us. or stick them in the don't stick them in the GTLD world where they're subject to contract with you. Stick them in the CCTLD world where they're subject to contract with the government. It just doesn't make sense. Youngham.
I would also like to point out that since we're talking about the definition of what a regional name is in relationship with IDNs, in the CCTLD, we have a fast track, which is not closed, that if a government wants to apply for an IDN in the second round or third round of the IDN process, then it can apply for a fast track. And so the reason that Kurt gave about ICANN not having having the right to deny governments, I don't think applies.
Demi, you had something to say.
Just a question, also maybe a suggestion. I agree that this is a serious problem, and maybe we can circumvent this problem if we have an easier way to raise objections to certain names. Then the question is, what would be an easier way for governments, for example, to raise objections to names that they think that are related to the country names or something like this, or is there normal objection procedure for all the people? I remember that there was a cost related to the objection, and for sure I think it would be very difficult for governments to pay a fee to raise an objection. And how is the objection thing dealt in this very case of the related to country names?
The way the objection process works with regard to country names is that it would be there's four areas of objection, four limited areas of objection, and the community-based objection was created for the protection of geographic names originally before the additional protections were put into the guidebook, and so. And the way that works now is that the country or the proxy of the government would pay a filing fee for that objection, and then that gets the objection gets adjudicated, and then the loser of that objection process pays for the time and the objection. And so, Demi, you were saying that payment of a fee is problematic for that.
Can I just, Rolf, I just have a question, so I just wanted to ask the room. Bart, have you got a microphone there? Okay. What have we got to do this morning under this banner of IDNs? We've got this, geographics. What else have we got? Money?
We've got money, the implementation plan, DOR, and the IDN variance tables.
Right.
And presentation of Android.
I don't know whether we've just. I'm happy for you to say something else. I just want to get a sense from the room about whether we think we've delivered our message yet, or whether we need to go and get a big stick. Now, what I mean is, do you want to carry on? Yes, we need to get a big stick. Do you want to carry on talking about this for a little while longer? Rolf, you wanted to say something, sir, or somebody did. Yeah, Rolf has another question.
Because I think the previous remark only solves half the problem. If you can object as a country to a particular GTLD which you think yes. represents a country. But now, a variation of Hilde's question, if this procedure becomes the procedure, the Netherlands wants to have .Holland, mm-hmm. would it then, according to the policy, obviously, that the board now adheres to, that the country itself decides if it's a GTLD or not, can it opt for .Holland to become a CCTLD?
No, not
That's
currently.
That's weird, isn't it?
Well, hold on. Not currently, because the fast track doesn't allow. It's not an IDN, right? So the current situation is that. So it's not the fault of the implementation plan, is what I'm trying to say. The current system is that the guidebook, rather. The current system is that you get one, and it's an ASCII one, and it's got two letters.
That's the current system, but that's not the recommendation the CCNSO gave.
No, the CCNSO hasn't suggested at this stage that change. It's
a meaningful representation.
That's for IDNs.
That's for the IDN CCTLD. Yeah, but in this particular thing, it cannot become a GTLD. That was our principle.
Yes.
So if it cannot become a GTLD, obviously it would become...
It's reserved, effectively, and it can't be anything.
And it will be a CCTLD one day.
If the policy changes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. So the choice is one way only. You can have... That's what ICANN says now, isn't it? It's either restricted or, as a country, you decide that you want it to be a GTLD and then it becomes a GTLD. Yeah. But it's not the other way around. You cannot decide either .nl or .holland to be...
A CCTLD.
The one a CCTLD and the other a GTLD. No. So there's only this choice where it makes things easier.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. That was my point.
All right. Now, do you want one more go, Hilda?
Well, actually, I think we might have, you know, delivered the message as much as we can in this format, unless it's unclear for people what we're talking about, because then... But then probably somebody else should ask questions than us doing things. But okay. I think we might need a big stick, but I think it's unfair to Kurt to apply that, especially in this room.
Oh, I wasn't planning on applying it to Kurt.
No.
Oh, then bring it up.
I think higher up.
So, now Kurt's got some things to talk about at the second level. Do we want to do that? Are we concerned about that? We don't mind, right? Because we do all sorts of weird things at the second level ourselves, so that's okay.
So we don't need to do the second level. So.
Oh, but it's good. It's more protection for our government names.
Yeah, but only at the second level. I'm just conscious of the time.
That's okay.
So, all right, cool. So what's next, Bart?
Andre. So I'm just going to say that the second level protections mirror exactly what the GAC letter to Paul Toomey Paul Toomey indicates. So it essentially adopts all those recommendations and puts them into the guidebook.
Okay. Good. Now you're sticking around, aren't you?
I'm going to go and then come back.
You're going to go and come back. Well, you know, you deserve a massive round of applause for that. So well done. Have you noticed how it's always Kurt that turns up with the difficult ones? You get the short straw every time. Okay, we're going to move on now to a presentation.
I have your email.
We're going to move on now to a brief presentation from Andre on IDNs and more specifically on .rf, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, how does this thing work?
You just use it, it's fine.
It works, okay. High tech. We have a lot of discussions around the IDNs, the rules, and global principles. I'll just take a little bit of your time talking about the particular case for the Russian Federation, and I think it can be interesting for you. I'll be short. So what do we have? We have .rf, which is it's on the screen, which is very... It has no competition with other Cyrillic characters, which identifies the country, which is called the Russian Federation, and it has a special character F. It's a Russian F, which is not existing in other scripts. So basically, Russia in this area has no competition, and it's easy to agree with other Cyrillic nations, and we already did it. So what's our plan? We've developed the rules of registration, some basic principles which were studied at the beginning of this year, even the last year, and published it openly in April of this year. And so since we started the development of the rules, it was open public discussion. Anybody from Russia can participate and give their suggestions, their ideas. So we ended up with a document on the 12 pages. with main principles. So, based on these principles, which were approved by the at the big internet conferences, it's like Internet Society in Russia, very alike. What we have now is a couple of statements, which will be the root for the about five plus documents, which will be the rules of the registration in the IDN domain.rf. So what we have in the plan, we want to complete the documents by October, and we plan to be on sync with the fast track procedure. So far, we hope and we believe it will be completed this year. So, and before we begin, we also have to sign up the registrars. We now have 20 registrars for .ru, and we plan maybe it will be 5 to 6 for the IDN domain, most likely the same guys. And so we plan to open the priority registration in November, and we expect the delegation of the RF domain name in December to February, and we will plan to open the registration in March 2010. So what will be the rules? That's the most interesting thing. So it's basically the same stuff as we have for .ru, but with a few exceptions. We will reserve the domain names for the governmental institutions and geographical domain names, but I have to express that it's not the geographical domain names based on existing, map. The geographical names will be defined by the Russian Constitution, basically, which defines the structure of the Russian Federation. And there'll be no anonymous registration, of course. I think Russia was one of the last countries which were allowing the anonymous registration. And I should tell a few words about the stop list, because it's a little bit on sync with the previous subjects. We will not have a flat stop list, like a file with the names with the bad words. We will use a very sophisticated technology based on Russian linguistic developed by the leading search company in Russia. So it will stop any attempt to register a bad word. So it's not a static list, what I want to say. It's a thing which will protect trademark owners, for example, from the similar transcripts. It will protect from the registration of the bad words. And it will do some other tricks. We probably will give this technology to the registrars. So there'll be some commercial product that the administrator of the domain, the end user, may buy the domain and protect the similar meanings. So it will be a commercial product, but not for us because we're not for profit. So about the stages. First, we go with the governmental needs, geographical domain names, and we're going to have about 5 to 6 technical domains for our own use, like kto.rf is like, it's like who is in Russian. And we have a priority registration with to protect the trademark owners. Due to the specific, we will protect only trademarks which is written in Cyrillic. Combinations not allowed. We're not going to protect them because it's really hard. You know, we started to drill really deep into this area, trying to protect as much as we can. But we found no criteria in the very bottom, so we decided to do it simple. If the trademark is in Cyrillic, if it's registered in Russian or international registration bodies, then we protect it. And the guys with trademarks will be able to apply for their domain during the period of about 4 months. Then we probably will extend it for another 2 months because we want to make sure that everybody is protected. This is one of the highest priorities in this project. And also we'll have time for collecting the wishes from the different agencies, federal bodies, executive power of Russian Federation, like maybe Russian church, we're not sure. We'd like to avoid it, of course, because we have like five churches, okay? Five official religions, so it's kind of sensible subject, but we don't have an answer, so we'll try to solve it as we go. And then we have an open registration. We plan it for the beginning of the second quarter of the next year, and will be some tricks around it. So the open registration will be like a sunrise period, which is the most popular word term for the idea now and for the new domains. So it will be about 8+ weeks, and we'll have 8 steps with the costs. I should tell a few words about it. We will have a special account. Special bank account, and when we start open the sunrise period, all the money for the priority registration for the sunrise registration will be collected on this account, and most likely we will use it for the charity purposes because we consider this like unique addressing resource which belongs to, I don't know, God, or I don't know, President of Russia or something. Okay,
same thing.
Yeah, and so. And so we think that we should collect this money separately and use it for the appropriate purposes. It will be about 8 weeks. We'll start with like 10 million rubles, which is like, I don't know, $100,000 to $200,000 just for the marketing purposes. I don't know if somebody will apply for this, but let's try. So it's a very short presentation of a very particular case called .RF IDN. And if you have questions, please.
Andre, thank you. I think that's the first time we've actually heard from someone who's doing it and getting it done. And is
it's real, guys.
Yeah, it's real. Does anyone have any questions? Peter.
Thank you.
Microphone, Bart, that's there.
Thanks, Andre. Very interesting. Would it be possible, unless it takes us too far and it's maybe better to postpone to one of the next meetings, to talk a bit more about the stop list that would also protect the trademark holders?
Yeah, I said a few words, but this is a network service provided by one of the leading Russian linguistic companies, let me put it like this. I mean that Russian language has a certain specific, well, like any language, okay? The combination of words, of meanings, combining two words in the different directions may end up with different results. So those guys, I can tell you the name, it's Ashmanov and the partners, that's the guys who developed the most sophisticated search technologies in Russia back in end of 90s, beginning of 2000s. And it's a very sophisticated thing. And according to what I know, they will filter up to 99% of the suspicious word. And also it's dynamic, so you can tune up for the strict or non-strict different combinations. And you and this system is like self, it has like self-tune-up kind of algorithm inside. So we will launch it, we'll see how it works, and we'll set the properties of the system, so it will protect the from the basic meaning, protect from the bad words, actually. But also it has a certain feature which may protect the simple brand. For example, you enter some brand, enter some word, and all combination or like wrong but similar you know, script of this word will be protected. I think maybe this is will be good for the project of geographical names as well on the global on the global scale. Maybe it's a solution. I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Andre, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
What's next, Bart? It's Tina must be next. Hi, Tina. Well, you're here now, so I want to see what people want to talk about. So, We're getting to the stage now where those of you who are interested in this and those of you who want your IDNs, etc., really do need to be paying attention to the documents that are being put out. We don't have the time, nor is it appropriate at this stage now to start going through the document, you know, line by line. We've done that meeting after meeting. So what I'm looking for from you is guidance on what particular things you would like to talk about that are currently in the implementation plan for the implementation plan for the fast track. So have a think about that. So while you're thinking about what you want, if there's anything particular that you want to raise, Tina's going to talk a little bit about the variance issues, which I know are of particular concern or interest to some. So, Tina.
Do you want me to pull up the slides so we have something to look at?
It's more focused.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Sorry, we're just getting a slide. Morning, Andre.
Where is the
The thingy?
Oh, the one about the. We can maybe while I put up the slides, we can see what other topics there is of interest, so we can kind of get a little plan in front of us. I don't know. And I, you know, Chris just asked me, and I selected variance like on top of my head because it's the one topic. Well, it's one out of maybe three or four topics that have generated the most discussions this week. But if there's anything else you would rather talk about, then.
Well, I think we'll start with that, and then we're going to do money later. So next, aren't we?
Yeah.
So Kurt's going to come back. We're going to do money. So I think Tina that anything technical that you think you know we should focus on
okay.
would be we're really helpful.
So I would say variance, and then maybe probably it should be by a show of hands if there's any interest in the IDNA protocol revision. That's going to like the extreme technical.
Well,
so.
Actually, no, that's good. So perhaps. Just before you do variance, and while you're getting slides ready, how about an explanation of what might happen if the current revision is not yet adopted?
Okay, so yeah. Thank you for asking the most difficult question on that topic. but sure.
So just so everyone's clear, the current IDNA protocol is being revised. It hasn't yet been, whatever the term is in the IETF, signed off on. Both the joint GAC CCNSO IDN working group recommendation and I think the GNSO recommendation on new GTLDs said that IDNs should not go until such time as the new protocol is complete. And that may change.
Right, that may change because, as you all know and hopefully agree on, we really want the IDN TLDs to go into production. So as we're trying to fast-track things, we're also trying to enable things to go live potentially before that protocol revision is finished. I will say it really depends a lot on what elements of the revision are we waiting to reach a consensus on in the IETF. And right now they're discussing what for me is one of the major outstanding topics, and that has to do with mappings. And it looks like we may get a resolution on that by the next meeting for the IETF, which is in the end of July in Stockholm. And if that happens, you know, I can only say sort of like what my personal opinion is. Of course, there needs to be like a technical review within ICANN staff on whether that's good enough. But my best guess is that then we will have a revised version of the protocol that is solving the question of mapping, that is Unicode version independent. And that topic, I just want to stress, is really important, especially for developing regions, so that when they get their characters into Unicode, it works, you know, pretty much automatically as IDNs. And, of course, those are the regions where IDNs are, like, really needed in order to get internet penetration. So we have mapping, Unicode version independent, and we also have fixed that problem that was discovered with certain right-to-left scripts. That is a much better and much more stable and forward usable technical standard than what we have in the 2003 version. So using that version, regardless of whether it's a draft or not, is going to be a lot better than using the 2003 version. So I think it's fair to say that we're like right on the edge of maybe having something that is useful and something that we can use. And then if there are any other topics among the engineers that needs to be solved, well, you know, maybe that's going to come in a later version. But we need something that we can use now for IDN TLDs, right? So that's where I think it is at. All right.
Do the variants now.
Yeah, I was going to do variants, but I was going to see if there's any questions on the protocol revision. Because, I mean, I just spoke, like a minute or something about it, and it's quite a... Yeah, it doesn't look like there's much interest on that. So let's look at the IDN tables and the variants. And this, just to say up front, this has been a topic that's been quite back and forth a little bit. Because in Mexico City, the paper, and all these papers are out for public comments, right? So nothing is decided yet. But the paper in Mexico City proposed that IDN TLD variants would be allocated or blocked. So that means that if you had, you know, the example of the two strings up there for Pakistan, one is a variant of the other. They, of course, look exactly the same, but they are actually, from a technical standpoint, different.
Can I stop you and ask you a question? Now, they're in the same script?
They're in the same script. This is Arabic.
And they're in the same language?
Yeah, this is Arabic.
So why is it a variant? Because it's simply a case that it's two words that are used for the same for the same thing?
I probably need to point.
Okay.
Yeah. So, since I don't know the Arabic script, and I think there's people in the room who can explain this much better than I can. This character that you can see looks exactly the same are actually two different Unicode code points. So that means that they're different from a technical standpoint. Now, they are also different for users, although users consider them exactly the same. I mean, as you can see, they look the same. But the way that they're entered on a keyboard or any other kind of software is different. So in parts of the world, people will enter one of them. And in other parts of the world, people will enter another one of them. And they might not necessarily know which one of them they're entering or the difference or anything like that at all. It's just that this particular character or these two characters were encoded differently in Unicode. And so we have both of them. So it's the same. Oh, there's a microphone. Good.
Yeah, I understand that it's not the same language. You said it's the same language, which is not. That's what I understand the case.
No, it's the same script.
Same script, exactly.
Yes.
But two different languages.
It's two different languages.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so, okay. It's the same script, two different languages, and it means Pakistan.
Yes.
You read it Pakistan.
You read it Pakistan.
When I read it now, I read this is Pakistan, this is Pakistan.
Right.
But of course, if you look at the code, as you said, Unicode, it's not the same.
I understand, because there's actually a different letter in there.
Exactly.
So it would be like spelling Korea with a K or a C, if they were both in common usage.
Yeah, maybe.
Except that these look the same.
It may be like this.
That's my question.
It's not really like that. It's the problem that you have the same alphabet
represented in two different languages with the same script.
Yes. Okay. Where there is a difference?
There is a difference, yeah. Because if you if you press this, it will appear to you the same.
I
but
understand.
This might be very good for phishing and all of these things.
Right. So there are users who okay.
No, you
well,
carry
let's
on, Tina. We'll what?
Get the microphone down there. So there are users who will use one of them and users who will use the other one. Now, if only one of them goes into the root, it should be pretty obvious for everybody here that that means that there is a portion of users who would like to use .pakistan who will type it in or enter it or however they do, and they'll get no result because they type
the
wrong
way.
String.
The other
yeah.
way. So, Fahd, yeah.
Well, actually, there are three very...
Would you stand up and would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, hello, everybody. My name is Fahd. I'm from .jo. Actually, this letter has three variances, and each variance is spoken in a different way.
Right.
It's just the way that you pronounce it, actually. I mean, something would be light, and something would be pronounced in a lighter way, and something would be
right.
pronounced in a little bit of a tougher way. But then there is just one generic letter for these three variances. And actually, the ASWIC working group is responsible for studying the Arabic script. And actually, we had reached an initial consensus that we would just use the generic words in the script, and we could probably use, include these variants at a later stage.
Okay, thank you. I don't, unless we need to go into actual specific examples, it's easier just to deal with the principle. And I'm the bellwether for not understanding this stuff. If I can get it, then everybody should be able to. So effectively, Tina, you've got these two representations of Pakistan.
Right.
So how do you decide? And only one of them can go into the root.
So that was what I was getting at. And just to be clear, I mean, the only reason why I have it up on the screen as Pakistan is that it's a good example. I mean, it's just a good example. I'm not trying to pick on one region other than another. So in Mexico, we said, I'm sorry,
it's
is there
okay,
another question?
Okay.
We let Tina finish? Thank you.
Okay, sure. So in Mexico, we said, well, obviously there is a need for both of these strings in this example. And, you know, there are other examples where there is more than two strings and so forth. But there is a need for both strings to go into the root because otherwise IDNs, in this particular example, won't be useful for the community. We did not have in Mexico a technical solution for doing that and ensuring that the two strings are inserted into root in an aliased function, meaning if I make a registration under one of them, it also will work automatically under the other one. So if I have Tina dot one of them and you enter Tina dot the other one, it's the same thing. You know, you go to the same site. If it's an email address, you'll send the email to me regardless of which one you use. So we didn't have a technical solution for that. In Mexico, what we proposed was that the two strings should be inserted into root separately, and the registry operator or the registry manager should be in charge on making sure that the two zone files under each one of them would be with exactly the same content. And in that way, if I have Tina.1, then, you know, the zone file would be copied or however you would manage it, and Tina.theother would also be there. So you could type in either one of them, and you would go to the same place, and that would be my domain name or my website or whatever. And we thought that was a good solution. The feedback we got was that, well, it may be possible to copy the two zone files at the second level, but what about the lower levels? This is going to create, and this is not what I'm saying, but this is the feedback we got, this is going to create an instability in the namespace. And the reason why it's said as a namespace is that it's not a root zone stability problem because IDNs works at the application layer. So there are other stability concerns that comes up in that application layer that has an effect on users. So this is a concern for end users that it actually works for them. So we have sort of like a very interesting situation where we have a need, and if we don't fulfill that need, getting both strings in the root, then we have a usability problem. But where the technical discussion stands today, if we put both strings in the root as separate delegations, well, then we have another usability stability problem. So that's why this is still up for discussion. Now, what we proposed right before the Sydney meeting was that instead of allocating both strings, we would allocate one of them and reserve the other one for potential future allocation. That could work for some regions. The feedback I've gotten this week is that that does not work particular for the Arabic, the language communities that are based on the Arabic script. And I can certainly see the difference between looking at the example for Pakistan and if I had had an example for Chinese up there. It is different. The Arabic ones have, at least in this example, a tendency to look exactly the same, whereas the Chinese ones look slightly differently and may not be as big a confusability problem. But other than providing this recommendation or this proposal in this version of the paper, reserved or blocked, we're also urging the community to talk about this and see if we can come up with a technical solution so that we can actually get both strings in the root.
Okay. Jonathan.
Yes, I'm Jonathan from the Hong Kong.hk registry. I think it is perfectly fine to have, for example, I take the case of Hong Kong as an example. We have traditional dot Hong Kong, Chinese characters. We have simplified dot Hong Kong in simplified characters. Very simple, only traditional and simplified. The words are looks a bit different, but meaning the same thing. I think it's a good solution already that I can just delegate these two strings as two different strings to, say, the Hong Kong registry, whoever it is. And then the registry will manage to ensure that tina.hongkong traditional, tina.hongkong simplified, even though those are two separate domain names, somehow will go to, you know, will look effectively the same domain name to the users. You know, the registry can manage that.
Well, Jonathan, hold on. I understand that the registry probably can manage that, yeah. But do you accept that if it wasn't managed, it would be a problem? In other words...
Not necessarily. It's a matter of policy. Not necessarily. It's a matter of policy. No. Another territory can have a different policy. They can treat this as different. I can't speak for them. But in the case of Hong Kong, you know, we have to manage that.
Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
Okay.
If I understand it correctly, what needs to happen is you have to have the two zone files need to be identical. And that is possible, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we don't have a problem with that.
No problem with that.
But what do you do about the next level?
That is exactly my question too. I mean, what is the problem with the next level anyway?
Right.
I can't understand.
Well, so let me put first that I'm not 100% convinced that there is a problem, but I've been told that there is a problem. And but the problem is that tina.hongkong, that's mine, right? Well, then you have control that the zone file at the second level is exactly the same for the two. But then since it's my registration, then I control all the lower layers on that, and I can decide what I want to put in the third level, and I can decide how to manage that because you gave me both of them.
And that is physically what can happen.
Right.
What's the problem? If I decide I want to have Chris dot traditional Chinese going to one place, or Chris dot whatever dot traditional Chinese going to one place, and Chris dot simplified Chinese going to another place, dot traditional Chinese and simplified Chinese are still going to the same place. It's just the thing behind the Chris that's going to a different place. So what's the issue?
Well, the issue is that in that case, the Chris dot Hong Kong will not, in the traditional and the simplified, those two will not be an alias solution. And what we And if so, maybe the question is, if what do we want an alias solution? And we've always said that we wanted an alias solution. And if that is still what we want, then that's not what you're getting.
No, hold on, hold on. No, that's not
but
right.
But if that's not what you want, then maybe you...
No, that's not... yes and no, in fact. It's my and I misspoke because it's actually not that. It's if I get chris.traditionalhongkong and chris.simplifiedhongkong, I absolutely agree that for it to be workable, those two things have to be the same. So they're two separate TLDs, traditional and simplified, and they have to be the same. But if I choose to put mail.chris.traditionalhongkong and have that go somewhere and put mail.chris.simplifiedhongkong go somewhere else, what is the what effect does that have on the security and stability of the DNS?
Yes.
So it's not security of the DNS, it's security of the namespace because it doesn't...
This? No,
I'm sorry.
Nope.
Mathieu? Jonathan, you've still got the microphone, so you carry on.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I can't see a problem at all, frankly. No problem. And also talking about the point raised by Chris, there is another option too. In the case of .hk, we are already having Chinese domain name at the second level. So Tina can register Tina.example .personal.hk, personal in Chinese at the moment. You can register tina.personal in Chinese, traditional Chinese.hk, as well as tina.personal in simplified Chinese.hk. In our case, user can map these two separately or to the same name server as they wish. They have full flexibility. So that this is another possibility too,
Jonathan.
Yeah,
I think you've made your point, and I'd like to hear from other people.
Okay.
Otherwise, we will. Nashua was next. Then I've got Matteo, and then I've got Rolf.
Just quickly conclude. I really can't see a problem at all.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Nashua.
Yeah, I'm repeating a question I have asked last time in Dubai. Back to the Arabic script. I'm not with the group that they are working with the Arabic script, and with all my respect, and I really appreciate their work, their help, and what they have reached today. But still, I'm still asking, if we have a problem with the Unicode, what's the problem to clarify the Unicode, simplify it? Do we have a problem with that? Why? It's not that so easy to say that, okay, this Unicode was created at a day that internet was not there, and they have asked the countries to put their alphabet, and then the alphabet was somehow, there's some redundancy in between. Why we are not able to clarify or to clear this redundancy for the internet?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think that's really hard for me to answer because I think it depends on how you want to clarify it. Now, if you want to clarify it so that only one of the characters are used, I can't imagine how to do that because what I've been told is that there are keyboards and systems that use one and others that use the other. So taking them out of Unicode certainly doesn't work. Now mapping them perhaps in Unicode so that they are considered the same from a technical standpoint could maybe solve some of it. But this is quite outside. I mean, I don't. I'm not a member of Unicode, and I mean it really is a question up to the Unicode consortium.
Do we have an answer to that? Yeah, but Matteo, I will come back to you in a second.
Nashua, this example in particular, it cannot be mapped. It cannot be. I mean, the second letter, as Tina said, they belong to different languages. One is the Persian, one is the Arabic, so they cannot be mapped. They look the same. They have different Unicodes, and they have to have different Unicodes because they belong to different languages. It's not the same language. It's not Arabic. It's Arabic script, but two different languages.
Okay. With some of this stuff, you get to a point where you have to say, right, we'll take that outside the room. Otherwise, we stay here forever. Mateo.
Mathieu Veil, I'm manager of .fr. Disclaimer, I'm neither a technical expert, especially within with regards to Unicode or languages or scripts, neither directly involved in any IDN CCTLD project. But listening to the discussion, I think we are touching on a very fundamental principle here that, and I acknowledge that everyone agrees that there are different communities with different needs, and maybe the issue is there's no one size fits all. And the key is we have the most wonderful tool and technology to address this. It's called DNS. And the basic principle of DNS is decentralization of responsibilities. And it is essential, in my opinion, that ICANN addresses the central root level issues, but remains very cautious not to get involved into what happens at the lower levels. And I'm very stricken by the fact that we're starting to discuss what's happening at third and fourth level. And my recommendation would be to consider what would be the problem if, well, we've identified as a problem with variants, maybe, and some people want aliasing, some people want other things. Why not just delegate those variants to the same entity and delegate responsibility to this entity of choosing exactly what it wants to do with its with addressing the usability problem we've mentioning, and I think it's been a tremendous job at identifying what issues could be risen, and then move forward on this basis. And then maybe that Hong Kong will want at third level to impose new rules, but it's going to be a policy issue for them.
Okay, I understand that. I've got Rolf, then I've got Jan. Rolf, and then Andre. So can I just make sure I just want to make a point. Tina, the starting point for this is that they are two separate TLDs.
That was actually not clear to me. I think the starting point was that if we wanted confusingly similar strings in the root, then they had to be aliased, meaning everything below the two trees had to be the same. This is exactly how DNAME works at the second level for those registries that have implemented DNAMEs.
Okay.
But that's the starting point.
What you're saying is right, but the starting point is, and just to use China as an example, the starting point is you will need to apply for the delegation of two TLDs. Is that right? Simplified and traditional.
Well, in the way that the proposal stands today, yes.
Okay. So that means that by agreement, because I assume there's agreement that they look very similar, and anyway, you want them to be the same, right? They will be tied together, and the root zone file, the zone file for each of those will be identical. Okay. But fundamentally, they're still two separate TLDs, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just wanted to get clear on that. I'll come to you 1 second. Rolf first.
Yeah, maybe this is too technical for most of us, and should we leave this discussion to somewhere else? Because I think a lot of us don't really follow it. My question would be, this problem should have occurred already at the second level, and maybe that solution can also be used for this particular case, since we all seem to agree that on the first level this won't be a problem, but the problem will be at the lower levels. But for the rest, maybe I think we leave it to the experts.
I've got Jan, and then I've got Abdulaziz.
I'm Jan from China. I think
speak closer.
For some point of view, those are two TLDs. Actually, from technical view, those are two TLDs. Mm. But actually, we should consider them as one TLD.
Well, then you can't split them. You can't say it's one TLD, but at the third level, we'd like to have a free-for-all. You can't. That doesn't work. It's either one or the other.
They are one TLDs. But just because of the technical issue, actually we don't need any technical resolution to align them, because that's why our IDN tables for. Every time if you get application, let's say for any example in Chinese, just talk about the Chinese. If you get any application in Chinese, you just look at that IDN table. That IDN table you already got it. You know, that's what IDN table for, warrants table for.
Okay.
You look at the table, and then you got actually not only simplified and the traditional Chinese, all the warrants actually, but how to treat all other warrants, that's a policy level.
Okay.
That's another policy issue. But the way we're doing it is just, look at the warrants table and to see what kind of, warrants we have. And then just basically that's one TLD. That's the point I'm trying to make.
You've made the point.
Yeah. That's one point. And secondly, I agree with, Chris. We really didn't see what is the problem for, for the second level and the third level.
I understand. Same as Jonathan.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. And then also we resolve all the technical problem and the policy problem perfectly already.
That's fine. We understand.
Yeah. So we just,
You just want your name.
Yeah.
Andre. And then Abdulaziz. Andre.
I appreciate the comment from Matthew that those problems should be probably solved by the communities that are affected by those problems. But I have one technical question which I'm not sure about. If the Pakistan is the case and we would like to have delegated both, can we use DNAME just on the root level as it used below? Because then we can register more variants of that name and they will be equally the same.
Right. What we actually expected was that DNAME would function at the root level exactly in the same way as it works at second level. But that was tested out some time ago by a few members of the root server advisory committee, and the result was that it doesn't work in the root. And it was tried, they were being quite creative around how they tested it out, not just as DNAME's entries, but DNAME's in the zone and so forth. And none of it worked, and that actually was a surprise. So to some of the engineers who did the testing. So one of the things that might be, several things coming out of the Sydney meeting, but one of them could be for those who have engineers working in the IETF or interested to take a look at the DNAME RFC and see if it's possible to make any adjustments to actually make it work. And that would be a great solution to have.
Okay. Thank you. Bart, can you... Bart. Abdulaziz was next. Right here.
My name is Abdulaziz Zaman from DOTC CCTLD. My comment is about using variants. We need variants in all the labels of the domain names, whether it's TLD. Yeah, we need the variants, to use variants in all the level of the labels, whether it's TLDs or second or third. So because this is part of the problems that we have with the Unicode. Unicode is not perfect, but we have to work with it. This is what we have now. It has a number of characters that's been really duplicated. It's not only this letter kaf, but we have the ya and we have the ha. A lot of Arabic names Yemen's Saudiya and many names that which has ya and kaf and ha will have a problem of variance, and users of the Arabic scripts will have difficulty to reach these names if they are not variants, because our keyboards, particularly they have different code points. So if, for example, I have Mecca, which is a very well-known name for most of the Muslim words, they cannot type it if they are in the use Urdu back Urdu keyboard, because it was registered in Arabic kaf. So we need really variants in all the levels of the domain name. So variance is very important even in the TLDs. Thank you.
Thank you. There was somebody at the back, I think, Bart. Or Gabby, whichever gets there first. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Naveed. I am from Pakistan. And
which one?
Well, the expression of interest that ICANN sent us in November last year and asking us if we are interested to have our own ID in CCTLD. And I don't recognize which one of them this Pakistan was, which we sent back to ICANN that we are interested in to have as an our ID in CCTLD. Well, I'd like to request here is that at the top level domain, this is something that we are working on since last 7 months, and our ministry has allocated some 2-3 million budget on that to work with some experts. So at this, like after 8 months, what we are having is that we may have a Pakistan ID and CCTLD not on the route because of some technical issues, and we may get this block. Well, I'll just request that if there is a technical solution at the root available, so we can have Pakistan at least at the top level domain side. Maybe on the second and third level, we may not use this, or we can have some blocking issue. So we may go to some policy decision on that more quickly than waiting for some other technical solution to come over. And after maybe 18 months, Pakistan is being told that you cannot have this ID and CCTLD string over there because it has some issues. So that's what I request. If or at the root we can have Pakistan there in shape of alias or what, we should go for that and then leave the rest to the registry, telling them that at second or third level you could have this issue, so you can have the blocking or you should not use it or whatever.
Right, so just to make sure that everybody understands, I didn't put Pakistan up there by saying they want both or anything like that at all. It's just an example.
We're going to need to... One of the problems with this IDN stuff is that it's incredibly important and intensely technical and all those other things, and for some people it doesn't affect them as such. And we're going to need to wrap this up because if we don't, we're going to run out. Well, we have already run out of time. Jonathan, you have to be really quick.
Yeah. Okay. Just a quick comment about the IDNA protocol. Protocol do have revisions, and you have revision regularly, and they are never perfect. Again, we have a few registries working on earlier versions of the IDNA at the second and the third level anyway, for the past few years. So I don't think there is a reason for, you know, delaying the launch of the IDN function. I can't really see that is a reason.
Right. I don't think we're looking for a 100% solution. We're maybe looking for an 80% solution. So we definitely agree on that. Maybe just the last observation as you're moving on to the next topic is that, of course, all of this variant management and how to deal with it also has to do with how IDN tables are developed. That's where the variants are defined. And right now the deal is that tables and variants and everything is developed locally, but we did get some feedback in this meeting as to whether ICANN should have more to say into terms of how tables are developed. I'm not sure that that's a possible thing to do, but just to throw it out so that as you think about variants, keep in mind how variants actually are defined.
Okay. So. Thank you, Tina.
Sure.
I'm going to make what might be a slightly radical suggestion, because we have run out of time and it's coffee break and I definitely need a coffee, and we do have a full agenda. Now, is Kurt here?
Yeah. He's down there.
He's in the back. What I would like to suggest is that those of you in this room who are in the IDN world, so you know Jan and Jonathan and Abdulaziz and whoever else is here, Nashua. Perhaps you could convene a meeting with Kurt, perhaps in the coffee break or perhaps during one of the other sessions, and actually discuss the money elements. And I'll come. Discuss the money elements with him, specifically to do with IDNs, which is what we're talking about, right? So it's not the big CCTLD thing. This is just the IDN thing. Kurt, are you game to do that? Yeah. Peter.
Chris, very respectfully, but I think this is a very...
You want to do it in the whole room?
Yes, I think it's an important issue. Yesterday, we were not allowed to ask any questions on it because it would be discussed in detail.
You are quite right, and thank you for reminding
during
me.
During this session,
a very good
so...
Point. All right, well, in that case, let's go and have coffee. Let's tie Kurt to a pillar so that he doesn't leave. Let's go and have coffee, and let's get back here in 15 minutes. and start the next session. Okay? Yes. No. Guys, sorry, just hold on for one sec. We will not go straight into financial contributions. We're going to do something else first, and then we're going to do financial contributions, okay?
Yesterday we had